Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
Today, October 8th, is the second Monday in October, and that is the holiday that has been known as Columbus Day. But a number of states and municipalities have changed the name of the holiday to Indigenous Peoples Day. And today, Governor Kim Reynolds will sign an Indigenous Peoples Proclamation. Last year, there was an article in the Ames Tribune about Jenya Coffey, a first-grade teacher here in Ames who was using some interesting approaches to engage her students in learning about Native Americans at this time of year. Because it's fall again and the holidays of Columbus Day and Thanksgiving, I thought I would check back with Ms. Coffey to see what she was doing this year with her young students. Jenya, you're a teacher in Ames. Where do you teach and what grade?
I teach first grade at Sawyer Elementary School.
And how many years have you been doing that?
This is my third year teaching first grade, but it is my 12th year in the classroom.
Well, the reason we wanted to have you in today was because I had heard that you're doing some interesting and innovative things teaching your young students about Native Americans in particular. So because it's fall and we're coming up on Columbus Day and Thanksgiving holiday, I just wanted to get some thoughts from you on what sorts of things are you trying to do with your young students?
Really, last year was kind of the first time I tried to think about having a plan for how I wanted to discuss Native Americans in the classroom. One of our social studies standards is around national holidays. So I knew that I was going to need to talk about Columbus Day, Martin Luther King Day, things like that. And I just wanted to think about how could I do that. And so it was really around Thanksgiving last year that I started thinking about it.
So what did you do for Thanksgiving last year?
So last year I kind of just wanted to see what first graders know about Thanksgiving. So I just kind of did, you know, your basic, what questions do you have about Thanksgiving? Is that something you celebrate at home? What do you want to know about it? And it was just kind of interesting to learn that, in fact, first graders don't know a whole lot about the origins of Thanksgiving at all. So I was anticipating there being a lot of misconceptions mm-hmm. that I would need to go back and work on. But really, it was more that they were just sort of like, I don't know, we have turkey. You know, most of their questions were about food, and they didn't really seem to know much about the history of it. So I kind of wanted to use it as a way to introduce inquiry-based social studies instruction to them. I reached out to Iowa State and some other friends for some resources and just found a way to sort of alter a few primary source documents to make the language a little more appropriate to first grade. But then we tried to kind of look at a letter that was in someone's journal about the Harvest Festival as the place to start and figure out what can we learn from this letter. What does it tell us? What doesn't it tell us? What do we have to inference to figure out? And what do we think really went on? And then that was just our starting point. And we read some children's books and visited a few websites and learned as much as we could about what happened during what we call the first Thanksgiving. As we went along, started to notice what things were told and not told in a lot of the videos or books that are commonly come out with Scholastic or whatever. Just did some work around what parts of the story were told and not told and what seemed to be myths and what seemed to be misconceptions and what can we know and what do we have to guess about. So I really let them kind of lead where it went to. And we ended up just sort of creating a museum of images that we had found in our studies. And then I just let the kids talk about what they thought they could figure out from those images. And we kind of made a timeline of them and invited parents and community members to come check out our museum when we were done. And that was sort of the overall first attempt at it.
And what kind of reaction did you get from the students and then from the people who came to see your museum exhibit?
Well, they absolutely loved the idea of history being this, like, investigation that you have to have and that you have to find clues and you have to have theories and try to figure things out. So they really enjoyed the idea of being investigators. And then once we did start learning a few things, they loved talking about how come that's not in this book or how come they keep saying this and they don't say this. So it was really, you know, why do they all dress like, you know, we talked about how the dress that you always see with the tall hats and the buckles, you know, really comes more from Abraham Lincoln's time period, not from what would have been the first Harvest Festival. So, you know, why do we keep seeing that? And so just figuring out some of that stuff. Also, I have quite a few international students in my classroom usually, just being in Ames and having a lot of parents that work for the university or grad students. So I also reached out to parents before the unit started, just saying we're going to be exploring the, you know, the Harvest Festival. Do you have any Harvest Festivals in your culture or other holidays that you celebrate? Is Thanksgiving something you celebrate? Is there anything you'd like me to know about your practices that we could bring in? So, you know, I had a student from Russia, a student from India. So we also were able to talk a little bit about how the concept of a Harvest Festival isn't new to Thanksgiving, that those have been going on for thousands and thousands of years. So that was kind of fun to be able to pull in some experiences of people in the classroom.
And did the students also recognize that maybe the story or the perspective of the Native Americans wasn't as well represented in many of the readings and resources that you looked at?
Definitely. And I definitely tried to find a pretty balanced set. Uh-huh. And I think that one thing that I really want to do differently this year is I feel like we still came from it as a, what do we know about the white version of Thanksgiving? And then what can we learn about the Native American side? I'd like to center the experience more on the Native American perspective and then branch out from there, especially with Columbus Day. Like, I'm not going to start with Columbus Day. I'm going to start with Indigenous Peoples Day. And I'm going to start with having some explorations of what does it mean to be Native American and try to dispel some of those myths about there not being any Native Americans anymore as a place to start. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I want to decenter the white experience being normal and then the Native American experience being the other.
Mm-hmm. And so you haven't started on that this year.
We're getting going. So I just recently went to this arts integration workshop where I went through a session called Reading Portraits as Biographies. And we learned a little bit about looking at images and what you can figure out from them, which tied in really well to what we had done last year with our Thanksgiving images. So there's like a set of foundational lessons where you just are exploring what portraits are and what do we look for when we look at a portrait and what questions do they make us think of, and just getting some basic inferencing skills and ways to explore images, which I like to do with first graders when I can, because reading is not something we're doing a lot of yet. So this is a place that makes it really accessible for everybody. So it's taken us a little while to do some of those lessons. But then what I've done is I've come up with a set of images of Indigenous peoples from long time ago, from recent artwork done by them, artwork of them, characters from books. And we're just going to explore those images and kind of talk about what do we see that are the same and different about these different images as a way to sort of get our first glimpse at Indigenous peoples in our classroom. You know, and some of them being like from a couple weeks ago at homecoming with the Meskwaki tribe and, you know, way back to popular images from a long, long, long time ago.
And what's motivated you to want to do this work? Because obviously you're putting in a lot of extra effort and time to design, really a curriculum to do this. What's motivated you to do that?
Inquiry-based instruction is always something that has interested me. There's so much I don't know because I went through school when we didn't learn a lot of this kind of stuff. I'm very interested in not being this expert in front of the classroom that has to tell you how it is. I'm very interested in letting kids explore what they make of this all. So it's been a great way for me to not have to be an expert because we're all just exploring it. You know, I learned a ton in researching and getting ready for it last year. And when they ask me stuff, I don't usually know the answer. I mean, that's what historians do. They have to make guesses and figure stuff out and consult with other people. And I like the idea of making it developmentally appropriate, but still more like what you would do in that profession versus just me having you memorize the names of a bunch of holidays and when they happen.
And there's so many kinds of traditions associated with schools around Columbus Day and Thanksgiving, whether it's coloring in the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, or dressing up as pilgrims and Native Americans and so on. Does a lot of that still go on in schools?
I think it's going to depend on the community and the school district. I don't see a lot. I have not seen a lot of that here in the Ames School District anyway. I won't say that it's not still out there. I think, too, like we just have pressure to also be always teaching a lot of standards at once. And so you don't really have a lot of time for coloring sheets and sort of randomness. So if I'm thinking about this, I'm like, well, I got to teach them how to inference. I got to teach them what a primary source document is. We're always looking for ways to integrate a lot of heavy stuff into our work. So maybe that's helped with that. I haven't seen a lot of it, but I still see it come through my Facebook feed. So I know it's
from
still
elsewhere.
Going on elsewhere. I haven't seen a lot of it here in Ames.
That is remarkable that you're doing that kind of work on developing students' research skills in first grade.
Yeah, I like the idea. They know what a primary source document is. I mean, they make primary source documents. They love it. They love being an expert. First graders are all about feeling confident in their set of skills, you know, such that they are. Like, there's no reason to not start them off with that same kind of language.
Do you know if there are any other teachers, either at your school or in other schools in Ames, who are trying to do similar work?
Like, at my school anyway, my entire grade level is doing it all together this year, whereas last year I did it kind of by myself as a first go-through, but now my team is doing it with me. Also, a fourth grade teacher, Nicole Coronado, also went to the same arts integration workshop with me, so she's doing similar work with the images in her classroom, and they're going to maybe go someplace different with it since her standards don't revolve around national holidays like mine do, but she's going to find some ways to integrate it in there, and then we're going to try to find some ways for our classes to talk together about their learning. Beyond that, I'm not sure if it's if it's moved beyond the building at all, but definitely I was contacted by quite a few people after the article last year around Thanksgiving, just asking me to share more about what I had done.
So there's more teachers making these efforts at your school?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And why do you think it's important that students learn beyond the traditional stories of these holidays?
I just think we have a much more diverse student population in Ames. We have a very diverse world, but it's very segregated in certain ways still. And I want to help my students learn to think for themselves and to have their own ideas about how the world works. So, I mean, my driving force is always just I want to keep things truthful, you know, developmentally appropriate, but truthful. I don't see any reason in reinforcing stereotypes or apologizing for anything. I just want to present what we know, what we think we know, what we want to know, and see where it goes. Because I think they're going to need those skills to interact outside of the school. So it's important for me to help them learn to think for themselves within the school.
And so there hasn't been any pushback of the kind saying that this kind of learning is inappropriate or these topics are inappropriate for young students.
You know, I was nervous about that last year. And I will say, like, the article was published online. There were definitely some, like, comments from strangers that I don't know that didn't seem very happy with the idea. But also they didn't read the article and weren't actually talking about what we'd really done in the classroom. I was a little nervous about how parents would take to it. But I think the fact that I reach out and let them know what's going on first and ask them for their own traditions. And I'm not undoing any traditions that they might have. I mean, after we finished our Thanksgiving unit, when we went off to Thanksgiving break and came back, then we talked about, now what things did your family do to celebrate or not do? And let's, you know, notice what traditions are important in our own families and share those. So it's not negating anything that they might be doing at home. I mean, I'm sure there's people that don't talk to me that maybe had a problem with it, but I haven't felt any pushback from my school district or parents of my students or anything like that.
Are there other ways in your teaching that you're trying to pull in the idea of representation of other groups or fairness and justice toward other groups?
Well, I don't know if it is that straightforward, but in Ames we have responsive classroom as our sort of overall philosophy for like behaviors and social emotional learning, which has the concepts of cooperation, assertion, responsibility, empathy, and self-control. So those are terms that I try to infuse into everything that I do. And I think assertion, you know, standing up for what you believe in, standing up for other people, and empathy, putting yourself in other people's shoes. I mean, those two things relate very much to some ideas that have to do with social justice and advocacy. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that as a first grader, we're learning how to cooperate, how we're all together, how we're working together, how we're standing up for what's right and what we believe in, how we're thinking about how other people feel, how we have a responsibility to each other. So I think all of those concepts tie in well to social justice work. I don't know if I've gone as far as I could to make that a more direct connection for them. But those are concepts that are important to me. But again, I always want it to center on them and our community in the classroom and how they want to look at the world.
So you'll take how this goes this year and see what you want to change and do for next year?
Yeah, and see what the students want to do and where they want to go with it. Like, you know, last year for Thanksgiving, they had a much bigger interest in food than I would have suggested. So we did a lot of research about what they used to eat at the, you know, First Harvest Festival. And so I don't like to plan things completely because it needs to be student-driven for it to be interesting and important to them. So I'm excited to see where they take it. And I'm excited that some other teachers are doing it with me because then I'm going to have an even greater group of ideas to think about as we move forward. And my, you know, plan is just to take it a little further each year. You know, I wasn't quite ready to do much of anything a couple of years ago. We dabbled a little bit last year. We're going to try a little bit more this year and we'll just see how it builds.
And are you planning to have another kind of exhibit or something?
Yeah, I think we're going to, at least for the Thanksgiving, we're going to do that same thing where we invite the families. It's kind of nice because it's right before break, kind of, and it's a nice time of year to have families in and see what we're up to, and the kids are so proud of their work. And so, yeah, we'll do that again.
Fantastic. Well, I'm impressed. I don't remember my daughter experiencing things like this and this kind of learning when she was in first grade. So I think it's really wonderful that you've figured out ways to do this with young people.
Thank you.
That was Jenya Coffey, a first grade teacher at Sawyer Elementary School in Ames.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the donate button at khoifm.org.